Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. I'm glad to have you with me across the United States from coast to coast. The phone number is 877-973-7425. If you'd like to be on the program, I'm delighted to have you with me. And Jeff has waited on the phone lines extremely patiently. And before I get into the topic I intend to get to, I want to get to Jeff here. Welcome to the show, Jeff. Sorry to keep you waiting so long.
Oh, no problem. I wanted to point out something I heard in the Joe Biden speech was he was making fun of Trump, saying that there are good people on both sides of issues. And then later on in the speech, when he was talking about the Israeli and Palestine war, he said that there were good people on both sides of the issue.
Yep. Yes. And you know, by the way, even PolitiFact, which I have a very low opinion of, but even PolitiFact says that the Democrats have lied about Donald Trump's speech. And in fact, the Washington Post, I'm sorry you had to wait so long to make this point, but I'm so glad you did make the point. So the Washington Post has caused Democrats to be enraged overnight because they fact-checked Joe Biden's line and pointed out again that he and the Democrats continue to take Donald Trump out of context, that Donald Trump, when he said there are good people on both sides, specifically excluded the white supremacists and the racists. He was talking about the people on both sides of the debate over taking down the statues in Charlottesville, not the racists who showed up, the tiki torch whites. And yet the Democrats continue to lie about that. They don't have the truth on their side on that. And then Joe Biden, does say that there are good people on both sides of Hamas and Israel. So Israel in the last 45 minutes has found 6 hostages dead. Hamas put them in areas that they knew that Israel was going to attack so that Israel would kill their own people. And Joe Biden says there are good people on both sides. Wow. That actually gets me to where I want to go as Andy Beshear doubles down and says he is going to refuse to apologize for saying that the Vance family's child should be raped so that they have to experience an abortion decision. Yeah, the governor of, if you're just tuning in, the governor of Kentucky talks about J.D. Vance, says that abortion after rape or rape is an inconvenience. When it comes to abortion, he mischaracterized what Vance said to say J.D. Vance claims an abortion or rape is an inconvenience and that J.D. Vance's family should go through that. Just remarkable words that he refuses to apologize for. This is a perfect segue to something I've been wanting to say. Yeah, I'm going to go there. Because we've gotten to the point that this needs to be said, because I can tell when you're getting frustrated and your tempers are short and you're worried about the state of play. And I understand why people are worried. If the election were held today, Donald Trump would win. The Electoral College would go towards Donald Trump. When Joe Biden was around, Donald Trump would have won the popular vote. At this point, were Donald Trump to win, he would probably lose the popular vote but win the Electoral College. And that's what matters in this country. Of course, the Democrats would try to discredit it again as they did in 2016, but he'd still win. But as every day goes on and he doesn't find a consistent message to beat against Kamala Harris, as the Democrats continue to pay dividends from a press that's aligned with them, people get a little more panicked. People, particularly older Americans who believe the country's slipping away and it's not what it once was, they're concerned about their children and their grandchildren's future. Communism, they think, is on the prowl and going to take over, and the country's going to come to an end. And so we got to fight. And you got to toe the line. The number of people in the past week who have told me I need to toe the party line is about 5 times more than in the past year, in the last week. That's how panicked people get. And they're mad at me for not towing a party line. And I'm used to it. It's not a big deal. I point it out these days because I've got to remind you that there are bigger things at stake here. And people's worries are often misplaced. So if I can recalibrate all of you for a moment, because I know my audience, I know where you stand, and I want to ask you a question. Do you believe God's on the throne or not? Do you? Because some of you aren't acting like it. You either believe in the sovereignty of God or you don't. Now, for those of you who aren't believers, just follow along with me here. Part of this is, in a secular framing, you're going to lure more people in with honey than vinegar. Beating up the people on your own side isn't productive. The people who would otherwise be on your side, attacking them, probably not the most productive thing. But for those of you who are people of faith in particular, you know, I mean, there's copious amounts of scripture that God's got this. If he can take care of the birds of the sky and the flowers of the field and provide water and food and sustenance for them, how much more can he for you? All things work for the good of those called according to his purpose. Yet there are a lot of people who are living in existential fear of the outcome of this election. Many people who are convinced that this is the last best hope to save this country. If we don't get this election right, the country is over. Maybe, you know, there's no such thing as a permanent country other than the eternal country. There is no such thing as a permanent home for us on this planet. This world is going to burn. I assume it's not going to be tomorrow or next week or next year or the next 5 years or 10 years, but it's going to happen. I've read the end of the book. The question is for you right now, how are you going to live your life? If you are constantly angry about the state of this country, you're not going to lure people to you. Yelling and protesting, it's one of the reasons so many Americans have turned off on the Hamas protests, because they see the reality of what's happening in Israel. They see the dead, the recovered hostages. They remember what happened on October 7th, and the Hamastics have no regard for it, no care for it. And that turns people off. But as for you, God's in charge or he's not. If he's in charge, then you've got to operate differently from the people who don't believe in him. There are plenty of people who don't believe in him. Now, I will tell you, if you're new to this program, I believe the whole thing. Beginning to end, I believe it. I believe it is the inerrant word of God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. There was an Adam and Eve. There was Noah in a big boat. There was Moses and the Israelites. And there was Jesus and the resurrection. And there's the second coming. I believe it all. And it shapes my world. And for most of my listeners, shapes them too. Except when we get into the nitty-gritty day-to-day basis of our lives, whether it's our job or this election, people get a little concerned. They get a little freaked out. And what they tend to do is put the power in their own hands and think that they've got to be behind the wheel of the car. You know, Carrie Underwood's song, Jesus Take the Wheel. We want to take the wheel in crisis, and sometimes we feel impotent when we can't take the wheel. Sometimes we feel like our power, our authority, our abilities are taken away from us. Our ability to advance a good candidate, our ability to win the election, our ability, whether it's our job or the election, sometimes we feel like it's taken from us and we get angry about it. We're prone to despair about it. But God's got a plan or he doesn't. Which side are you on? Which side are you on this? I used to be driven to existential frenzy by these elections. You know, it's funny. Like, I am a better radio show host than I used to be. And yet I occasionally get people who are longtime listeners who will email me, and they actually say that I was better then than now, because then I told them only the partisan talking points, and I was fully on board the party and the party line. And now I'm just, you're too nuanced. You try to explain both sides. I don't care about the other side. I don't care what they think about. But I'm more and more convinced if we can't understand what the other side believes, we can't win the argument against them. That's one of the things that's always set the right against the left on the better side of it, is because we've always been able to articulate their positions better than they've been able to articulate our positions. But also, there's something else. In my life, in the things that have happened to me and my wife and my family, I am more and more convinced God's got a plan. I've seen it in my life. And so I can't, as much as I have a side that I want to win this election, as much as I want Donald Trump to beat Kamala Harris, because I don't like Harris, I don't like Walz, I think their policies would be terrible, I have a hard time being driven to existential terror over what's to come, because I think God's on his throne and he's got a plan and his will be done, not my own. So that means that I have an obligation, and I think you have an obligation, to be truthful, not just to be a propagandist for a candidate. You're supposed to reflect truth. If Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life, that means truth is objective, obtainable, and knowable. And spreading lies, knowingly spreading lies, is contrary to that. And knowingly telling people things that you know to not be true is contrary to that. And being convinced that it's the end of the world if your side doesn't win is anathema to that. Because God's got a plan. And whatever he comes up with is better than what you and I can come up with. Do you really want to be in charge of all that? Do you really want to take on all that responsibility when he's willing to do it himself? So all I can tell you is be encouraged. What happens is part of a plan. You've got a role to play. I'm not saying don't go vote, let God show up at the ballot box for you. I'm just saying that when we all go vote in November, the outcome is going to be something that he wants, whether you like the outcome or not, but it's going to be for your own good in some way you or I may not be able to see. And if he's working all things for the good of those called according to his purpose, how can I be upset with the way the election goes? It may not be what you or I want. Maybe it will be what we want. I don't know. But there's still going to be turmoil and discombobulation around. But you know what your job is, and you have a job in this, and your job is to just love your neighbor. Your job is not to be out there yelling at your neighbor because they see the world different from you. Your job is to love your neighbor. If you're a Bible-believing, evangelical, literal word of God Christian like I am, your job is to be such a great neighbor that your transgender, atheist, Kamala Harris-supporting neighbor leaves a key with you and they go on vacation because they can trust you to take care of their house while they're gone. Your job is not to stand in their front yard and yell at them, repent or burn. Your job is not to shoot them the middle finger because of the Kamala Harris sign in their yard, or to tear it up and put a Trump sign in their yard at night. You know, I used to live in a neighborhood. One of the reasons we moved, had Crazy Pete across the street. Crazy Pete, when I was declared the worst person in the world by Keith Olbermann one night, would stand out. He would stand outside when I was in the yard, including with my kid, and start heckling us. Not really neighbor loving. And, you know, their dog ran away from home. After all this, the dog ran away from home. And I happened to find the dog and bring the dog home. I did smirk a little bit that I was the one who found the dog and brought the dog back to them after all of the heckling and harassing of my family that he had done. Sometimes being a good neighbor rubs salt in the wounds of the people who are treating you badly. But the fact is, your job is not to go out and win the election, it's to love your neighbor if you think God's on the throne. Go vote, participate in the process, but you need to calm down. The world's not coming to an end. If it does come to an end, it's all part of the plan, and I've read the end of the book, you're going to be fine. You either trust the sovereignty of God or not. If you trust in the sovereignty of God, you got to act like it. You got to act like it. It's got to mean something to you. And a whole lot of people, we like to say there's no atheist in a foxhole. Actually, there are a whole lot of people who, when they're in the foxhole, they say God is real and they get out on the battlefield and they think they're in charge. No. 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 There's a plan. We don't quite understand it. But if you can trust that there's an active plan and he's in charge, you can calm down. You can be less angry. You can be less afraid of what's to come because you know that whatever comes works for your best interests. So go love your neighbor, go vote, participate, advocate for your candidate. But remember, your job's to love your neighbor. It's not to be angry. The anger doesn't serve any purpose except the purpose is contrary to what you say you believe with. And in your anger, you might be undermining what you say is your core value. Be careful out there.
He's got the courage to tell you the actual truth, even when it isn't popular. It's the Eric Erickson Show. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Welcome back. Yes, you can call in. If you're on hold, though, I went long that last segment. My producer has admonished me, appropriately so. So stand by. I will take your phone calls after the bottom of the hour break, and I will take your phone calls. Right now, you need to know there's additional breaking news happening. It appears the Robert F. Kennedy campaign is on the verge of implosion. It is just about broke. And Robert Kennedy has begun floating his vice presidential running mate as a potential Health and Human Services secretary in Donald Trump's cabinet. Also a potential gubernatorial run. And Kennedy is apparently in further talks with the Trump campaign, according to press reports about how his campaign may proceed. Looks like the Kennedy campaign is employed. They're out of money. What a weird dude, too. It always perplexes me how people latch on to candidates, like seemingly smart people who I know, and they latch on to candidates and just think that they're like the best thing since sliced bread. It's like, this guy's a Kennedy. He's bad. And yet people do it. Well, they're not going to be able to latch on to him too much longer. He hasn't made ballot access in enough states to even matter for the Electoral College, despite claims otherwise, so it's not like he can be elected president. Now it's collapsing. Well, you would learn about the Electoral College and so much more if you took one of the free great classes at Hillsdale College. They've got great classes on the Constitution. They've got a great podcasting network as well that explores the deep issues of the Constitution, the rule of law, civil liberties. You learn so much from Dr. Larry Arnn and others with the Hillsdale Podcast Network and with the free classes as well. Hillsdale College was founded in 1844. The mission is to provide all who wish to learn, key language there, all who wish to learn the education necessary to preserve the civil and religious liberties of America. And that's why they do so much great free content in their classes they can take and that you can offer, or you can take that they offer the podcast network in Primus and so much more. Whether it's your education, that of your child, go to ericforhillsdale.com today. Learn how to build a relationship with Hillsdale. Get so much of their great free content that's online, from their courses to their podcasts, to learn how you can help them advance their mission across America. ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to the Eric Erickson Show.
Greetings, welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, very happy to have you. In fact, I want to go to Stephen's phone call. Been waiting patiently. Welcome to the show, Stephen. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to talk a little about, we're hearing a lot about all these manufacturing jobs coming back. And I've got some maybe opinion on that. But manufacturing expansion and increased regulations just oppose each other so strongly that, you know, those two things don't work. And I had a 30-year career in textiles. And, you know, thanks to NAFTA and a couple of other Act legislation, yeah, I ended up putting hundreds of people out of work, like great people. I was their HR manager, and I saw how that worked. And as most people know, probably about, I won't say most people know, but ages ago, textiles migrated from the northeast of our country to the south. And that was because of high taxes, property values, litigation, regulation, and other costs that made it prohibitive to do that kind of manufacturing. And of course, NAFTA was kind of a shell game. We sort of thought it would be fair trade, and it obviously wasn't.
Right.
The company that I worked with, we even scrapped old technology when we updated to new equipment just to keep the jobs in the USA. And I think you can look now and see that when there are new plants, new manufacturing coming in to our country, you know, you think about the new automobile plants in South Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama, very, you know, business-friendly areas. And I think if we're going to be talking about bringing in hundreds of thousands or maybe even millions of new manufacturing jobs, we've got to figure out, you know, where they're going to go and how we're going to make that happen without massive regulations.
Yeah, I'm glad you say that. And so here's some data for you. You may not know, I learned this right before the show started, that the harvesting and processing of southern yellow pine this coming year, 2025, will be the first year since 2020 that annualized processing capacity has declined in North America, despite new factories coming online and new mills to process southern yellow pine for lumber, flooring, paper, and other things. This coming year we're gonna see a decline for the first time since 2020, because of COVID. And one of the reasons is because of the increased costs, increased labor regulation, increased cost of these mills. They can't keep up with the regulation. And so again, like you said, a lot of the textile mills and others, they move south because of unionization, because of taxes, because of government regulation. And now even in the South, with federal government regulations, it's becoming harder and harder to do business. And we got all these people in Washington on both sides, frankly, who are telling us that they're going to bring these sorts of jobs back to the United States. But they can't unless they're willing to give up so many of the labor regulations that drive up the cost for the companies to do business in this country. It's far cheaper to go to Mexico or somewhere like that.
Oh, absolutely. The companies have to turn a profit. And that's just one of those things. And
Wait. Kamala Harris says that making a profit. Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. When profit's a dirty word. Yeah. I mean, they've made the idea of profit a dirty word, as opposed to, I mean, Milton Friedman points out everybody's greedy in some way. We never say ourselves are greedy, but everybody wants to make a profit. Mm-hmm. And that's what keeps the markets going and the jobs coming.
I want to mention an anecdote. I mentioned I was an HR manager, and I had to audit payrolls and things like that at other facilities with our company. And I went to Biddeford, Massachusetts, and audited their payroll back in the late 80s, early 90s, and found out that the non-union workers were actually making less per hour than their non-union counterparts in the South. And I was shocked to discover that. And you know, when looking through the payroll records, these employees, which are just as great, the employees in the Northeast are just as great as the employees in the South, but they were paying for that union representation, and they weren't being fairly represented. They mm-hmm. weren't, the union reps weren't doing enough research to come to South Carolina or North Carolina and see that the people doing the same work were making more money.
Yeah, I mean, when you the labor costs and the regulations in the Northeast at the state level, the union costs as well, it is so much different. So Stephen, look, that's a great point. Appreciate the phone call and for you being patient. That this is something I think that when, for example, J.D. Vance talks about bringing manufacturing back to this country, if it's being brought back to this country and unionized as he wants, private sector unionized labor, getting rid of right-to-work laws, it drives up the cost too much. And you can pat yourself on the back and say, we've created these manufacturing jobs that pay $20 an hour as opposed to $10 an hour. But then the goods are so expensive, the price goes up, and other people outside those jobs and even many of those people can't actually afford the work. And the employers wind up going out of business. When you're competing against these other companies, you can put all tariffs in all day long. The only people who are going to pay tariffs are the American taxpayers. It's a dumb idea. It's economically illiterate. There's a side note here, though, that I've got to emphasize. Economists have clearly failed to teach America. The fact that both Kamala Harris and J.D. Vance can advance economically illiterate ideas that will drive up costs on the American consumer, taxpayer, business owner, and employee is a failure of economists to explain in common sense. We need another Milton Friedman out there. In fact, there's a clip circulating out there. I need to find it of him talking to Phil Donahue, who passed away yesterday. Honestly, I didn't talk about it because I felt kind of bad. I thought Phil Donahue died a long time ago, but he apparently didn't. Yesterday he did. But Milton Friedman. And he was challenging him on profit and profit motive. And Milton Friedman was explaining profit makes the world go round. that you may think yourself not greedy, but everybody actually wants to make some money. And the government punishing people for making money drives down a profit incentive, drives down productivity. And that's where we are right now. And it's not a good thing. All right, Omega, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show. Omega, how are you?
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. Listen, I don't think that Vice President Harris is going to win because I think they're going to do her the same way they did Jeb Bush. She has got a lot of money. I think the vultures have moved in to spend the money and by paying consultants and everything else. And the second thing is the infighting hasn't started yet. You have got Biden people, and you've got Harris people, and you've got people who've been promised positions and things like that. The backstabbing has not started yet. I give it 2 weeks at the tops.
Look, I'm glad you say that because she's had this little honeymoon period. But, yeah, between the grifters on the left, the fighting of the consultants, who's getting the money, and also her polling. I don't know if you know this or not, but so polling, good polling, has come out in Virginia. She's only 3 points ahead. And guess what? Tim Walz is as unpopular in Virginia as J.D. Vance, and Tim Walz is actually more unpopular with members of the military than J.D. Vance.
That is a strange-looking man. That is a strange-looking man. God, that's a strange-looking name.
Well, you said it. Omega, you said it. Let me let you go there before we get ourselves in trouble. But you said it, not me. Look, Tim Walz, he is less popular with members of the military in Virginia than J.D. Vance is. In fairness, given the margin of error, they're tied. But it's Vance has negative 22%. Walz, negative 17%. Among the military, it's pretty much reversed. Walz is like negative 25 and Vance is negative 15 with the military. It's not a good thing for Kamala Harris to only be 3 points ahead of Donald Trump with maximum exuberance among Democrats in Virginia, a state that should not be a swing state, and yet it is if the polling is to be believed. Now, I will tell you that the crystal ball report from the University of Virginia has come out, and it's listing Georgia and North Carolina now as states in play because of Kamala Harris. I don't actually believe that in either case. I also don't particularly believe the crystal ball reporting much anymore because Larry Sabato, who's not directly involved with it anymore, but it's Larry Sabato's crystal ball, he's just become an unhinged progressive. What I pay attention to is the Cook Political Index, and they believe Georgia and North Carolina still lean to the GOP. To Omega's point, the Democrats are having a honeymoon period, and Donald Trump is this week, by virtue of the Democratic National Convention, largely off the stage, and that is by design by both parties. And I do think it's somewhat of a tactical mistake for Trump to be off. However, if he can spend this week resetting his message, staying on topic and finding some better discipline, there's a growing chorus of people begging Kellyanne Conway to come back to the campaign. Kellyanne Conway, full disclosure, friend of mine, deeply, deeply adore Kellyanne Conway. When she was on the campaign in 2016, she took Trump's phone away from him and regulated who could be in his headspace. And when Donald Trump would stay on message and hit metrics, she would give him his phone and allow him to see the people who were getting in his headspace. And if he fell off message again, she'd take the phone away and get those people out. And it was a very disciplined approach that helped him in the last 2 months of the 2016 campaign get focused and stay focused. And they need to bring that level of discipline back to Trump because you can't teach an old dog new tricks. However, Donald Trump likes access to his phone and he likes access to his friends. You cut that off and say you can have it back based on metrics. That's a way to get him disciplined. And it worked in 2016. It's what Kellyanne Conway was famous for in 2016. They need that approach again. He's got to find a message. And I think he's found it, by the way. I think he has. Kamala Harris's day one was 3.5 years ago. She's failed as border czar, so much so the media now has to pretend she wasn't. She's failed national security. She was the last person in the room and stood by Joe Biden's disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. And you are not better off now than you were 4 years ago. Gas is higher. Groceries are higher. Rent's higher. Insurance is higher. Cost of living's higher. Cost for childcare is higher. Cost of education's higher. Everything the Democrats touched broke. He's got a compelling message. He's just got to stay on message. And now you go back to Stephen's phone call there with advertising, or not, with manufacturing around the country. The cost of manufacturing in this country with Democrats and regulation in charge is astronomical. You know, this came up at the gathering weekend before last. The Code of Federal Regulations is all of the compiled regulations of the federal government. They're all in there. And when I talk about the regulations of the federal government, I'm talking about the regulations going so far as to the direction to turn a light bulb to screw it in and the direction to turn a light bulb to take it out. The flow of water through a faucet. The flow of gas through a gas burning stove. The speed at which the washing machines spin to draw out water. The flow of water into the washing machine. All those regulations are in the Code of Federal Regulations. Every inch that volume of books grows subtracts significant productivity from the United States. When Donald Trump was president, the rule was for every regulation you wanted to enact, you had to get rid of two. And it kept the Code of Federal Regulations from growing, and it allowed productivity to be in place for the American consumer. As Joe Biden got in office and Kamala Harris, the Code of Federal Regulations started growing again. And as the Code of Federal Regulations has grown, bureaucracy has grown. As bureaucracy has grown, the government has taken more and more of our GDP, and it's deprived Americans of productivity. That's the problem. And we need to get back to deregulation. And Donald Trump can make that case because he was a real-world example of deregulation where Joe Biden has grown the government. Ron in Wagner, Oklahoma, you're going to be the last caller today. How are you?
I'm just peachy, Eric. I was listening to what you were saying about Vance being 15 points or something
with military voters in Virginia, just Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. Okay. I didn't hear that part, but I was really interested in the demographics of this. Are we talking about people that are grunts in the military today? Are we talking about the core leadership that apparently is in our military? Or are we talking about retired?
That's a great question.
Ex-military.
So this is people who classify themselves as in the military. I'm probably active or veterans in the military in Virginia, the polling for them. So it can be people who've been out of the military, but they served, or people who are active duty military in Virginia. Polling samples in Virginia tend to sample more active duty than not. But you got to remember that a lot of these guys, they're not looking at it through, they identify military, but they're not looking at things through a military lens per se. They're looking at it through, I'm a voter in Virginia and I don't like J.D. Vance because of all these terrible things I've heard from the Democrats. What's notable to me is that the same people, having heard very little about Tim Walz, have a much more negative impression of Tim Walz than they do of J.D. Vance in the military in Virginia. And I suspect that's because the stolen valor stuff is sinking in, and it hasn't been widely reported in the mainstream media. And the fact that the military voters in Virginia dislike him that much, more than J.D. Vance, tells me this is an issue that is circulating in the military community that the Republicans can still exploit. And by the way, CNN had to delete a fact-checking tweet earlier, pushing back on Republicans talking about Tim Walz and IVF. Tim Walz credited IVF for his family. It's not true. Republicans pointed that out. CNN tried to fact-check the Republicans and then had to delete the tweet, just as they're doing on the stolen valor stuff. So, Ron, I hope that answers your question.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. My best to you out there in Oklahoma. All right. I got to tell you about Americans for Prosperity, because they are training conservatives to be activists in this country right now, to go door to door to educate Americans on issues that matter from a constitutional conservative perspective and a common sense perspective at that. If you want to find out the issues and the facts and the solutions to what plagues America, you can sign up as a member of AFP. They have chapters around the country. You go to AmericansForProsperity.org, AmericansForProsperity.org. You sign up with AFP, and you can become a door knocker. You can become just an informed member of your community. You can learn how to explain common sense conservative issues to your city council, your school board, your state government on free markets, on school choice, on family values and family rights and homeschooling support. You can find out the solutions on how to deal with the border so you can advocate common sense conservative solutions to your neighbors, your local government, wherever you want to go. It's the largest leading grassroots organization in the country. AmericansForProsperity.org is the website. They have chapters in almost every state in the country now. AmericansForProsperity.org. Go sign up with Americans for Prosperity today. Be a more informed conservative activist.
Well connected and well respected. It's Eric Erickson live every weekday. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Hello there and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States. Glad to have you guys with me here. Palmdale, California, there's been a UFO scare. Turns out there have been a bunch of drones over Plant 42. Plant 42 is a skunkworks project of the United States. The incidents have become so serious, the FAA has imposed new flight restrictions over the high-security facility. The Air Force acknowledged the incidents in response to questions about purported sightings of unidentified flying objects in the area that went viral on social media. Palmdale Regional Airport shares the runway with Plant 42, which is home to Lockheed Martin Skunk Works Advanced Projects Divisions, as well as similar arms of both Northrop Grumman and Boeing. NASA has a flight testing facility there as well. A prime example of the work that goes on in Plant 42 is where Northrop Grumman has been building the new B-21 Raider stealth bomber. America's most sensitive bleeding-edge aerospace weaponry emerges from the facility, so security at the installation, which is located in an urban area, is taken very seriously, and they have seen multiple unidentified aerial systems, uncrewed aerial systems, they're now saying, activities over Plant 42 in recent months. Someone's been flying drones. I wonder who, China? I wonder who. It's also interfering with aviation because it's a regional airport, too. So there are flights taken off from the airport as these aerial drones are flying over the base. That it's that accessible is remarkable. The government's having to step up protection as these snooping drones are flying over. Undoubtedly, it's the Chinese. Nobody disputes it's the Chinese. And this is happening here in our country right now. Thanks, Joe Biden.